Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki and I'm sitting here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Jess.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, guys. How are you? Great to be here. It's great to be the one that, who's not being shunned for once.
I don't know why.
Appreciate that.
I've decided to, very early on, start a feud.
Great.
I imagine it's just a pause and any moment now you'll also say,
hello,
like,
Matt.
Oh, there it is. It feels good to be involved. Thank you. good times.
Good times indeed. Matt, great to have you back after your jaunt in Sydney up on the weekend.
Had a lot of fun in Sydney. What a great place. I met a lot of listeners, a lot of cool people.
Yeah, how much jaunting did you do though?
It was pretty much nonstop.
Yeah. Well,
you know what
like
Sydney's
that.
Like
I know
well.
What
it's
you're
a very
really like.
Jaunty town.
Get busy jaunting, get busy
looking
leaving.
At a bridge.
Yeah, that's the two things you do up there.
You jaunt, you look at a bridge.
And you come home and you feel better.
I saw the bridge in the on the ride from the airport
how
to the accommodation.
Good is that bridge?
It's a beautiful bridge.
Oh, my goodness.
So
bridge.
Just to confirm, we are talking about Sydney Harbour Bridge?
No.
So. Oh.
Okay. I was actually, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which one were you talking about?
It's just a little one over a pond in a park outside a retirement village.
Oh, I see.
Which
yes.
is nice super cute.
Did you see that one on the way from the airport?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
Worth the
I
detour.
Closed my eyes.
Yeah. I blink and you'll miss it.
I refuse to look. Hey, Dave, do you know what this show's about?
Well, I do, but no. Maybe...
Jess, do you know?
Yeah. Oh, I stole Dave's laptop.
No point in telling everyone then.
Well, what if people are listening for the first time? Maybe
oh, okay,
you should just
sure.
say, just on the off chance.
Just in case, any new timers, first timers... Okay.
First comers,
first servers. The show is
please
about,
don't turn off.
It's about a different topic every week, and one of the three of us research that topic, but the other two don't know what that topic is until the research giver and taker, fucking hell.
Doer.
The research doer and
researcher.
Report giver. They ask a question to get us on topic this week. The report has been done by David Warnicki. David, what is your question to get us on topic?
Okay, my question is, how many emperors has the United States of America had?
What?
What?
How many emperors?
It's none.
One.
Two.
Three.
One is correct, Jess Perkins.
Yes!
It is one, and his name is Joshua Norton, and he is the subject of today's episode.
An emperor.
Yes, Emperor Joshua Norton the First.
Joshua.
Self- Self-diagnosed?
Appointed?
Appointed.
Self-diagnosed emperor?
Hypochondriac. No, I've got,
I've got everything.
Emperor. I'm also a king.
Went on Google Doctor. Dr. Google. Oh, no.
I'm feeling quite regal.
Oh, no. Powerful. I'm in charge of a giant empire. Oh, this morning I was just a bank teller. No, it is Emperor Joshua Norton. Have you heard of this guy? I hadn't.
No.
It was in the hat and put it to the Patreons to vote for, the Sydney Shineburgers. It won by one vote. So those people hopefully did vote, because if you didn't, you could have changed this topic.
That is a tight vote. Is this a relatively recent story?
Not a recent story, but more of a recent suggestion is where I saw it.
Okay.
From. I was like, oh, grab some new suggestions from the hat. And it actually turns out it's been suggested four separate times by these people, thanks to Santiago Lopez.
Santiago.
Ooh,
from Whittier in California. Alan from Dublin. Kyle Haggerty from Wabash in Indiana. I almost certainly said that wrong. And also, finally, from Odessa in Texas, Jessica Villarreal.
I met someone from Odessa in Texas yesterday.
What? Where?
What?
In Odessa?
After she came to my show.
Is her name Jessica?
I'm going to say yes. She was the one who gave us the card that I was just telling you about before the show.
Yes, that's right.
I haven't opened the card.
Because you wanted to open it
so
with all of us.
So I don't think she told me her name. But that would be, odds are, how many people from Odessa?
How many are there?
Whoa.
She's in Melbourne for the next couple of months.
Cool.
How cool is that? They have a population of 116,000, so it could be her.
Okay. Well, yeah, but there's probably, okay, maybe there's a different listener. But it could be her.
That is so cool, though. Did she look like a Jessica? Like,
yeah.
Did she look like really rad and cool, but like laid back, but like gets shit done, you know?
Yeah, she did look like that, which I don't associate with Jess's normally.
You are a cruel person.
I mean, Odessa, I really want to go there. They have an 8-foot-tall statue of a jackrabbit in downtown.
That's cool.
Which is cool. And they also, at the University of Texas, have a replica of Stonehenge.
Whoa.
Oh, that's
fun. Sounds
all right, Odessa.
Cool.
Cool stuff. And so thanks to the people that suggested that. I hadn't heard of the topic, and then I briefly read into it, and I think the patrons who did vote for this chose correctly.
Okay, great.
It's quite the story.
Fun. I love a story.
All right, let's jump into that story. So Joshua Abraham Norton. That's a royal name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was born in...
Jan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jan.
His initials are Jan.
King Jan.
That's not great.
Well, he was born in King Joshua.
You got to think about these things, you know?
Yeah. What have you got? You've got
Japs.
Jap. I don't know why I went S there. That was wrong. Anyway, I know what your last name is.
Jap from Poirot.
Serkins.
We've been through this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we've talked about
it.
Sure we talked about Joshua Abraham Norton, anyway, was born in England around the year 1818. His exact birth date is debated, but that's pretty ballpark.
I mean, who's taking the time to debate something like that? Who gives a shit?
I think it was the 4th of March.
There are people literally
formal debates. There's debate clubs.
There are literally people being like on the internet being claiming stuff like, well, in this date, he claimed to be 52 years old. So if we work that out backwards, that would be 1818. But he also... according to the census, was only 37 years old during this decade. So that actually debunks this. Was he lying about his age? And it's like, I've fallen asleep. I do not give a shit.
It doesn't matter that much.
But so we're talking around the late 18-teens. Mm-hmm. His father, John, was a farmer, and his mother, Sarah, was the daughter of a merchant. History.com describes his family as, quote, a decidedly unregal family of merchants.
Okay, well, I mean... how can you decide that somebody else is unregal?
That's right. Well, obviously, at his birth, not many would have tipped him for being the first great emperor of the United States.
Which of the three of us would fit well into a regal lifestyle?
Oh, well, obviously me. Is that a trick question?
Is that because you love doing nothing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I love a throne.
Also, you wear a monocle at all times.
Yes.
You can hear it now.
Speak up, boy.
You there. Now, not much is known about Joshua Norton's early years, but in 1820, the family uprooted and moved to South Africa, where his father sold shipping supplies. And apparently he was pretty bloody good at it, because by Josh Norton's 29th birthday, when the story picks up again, his parents had died and so had both of his brothers. Suspicious. And he was left with a sizable inheritance.
Oh.
Oh.
It actually isn't suspicious.
Okay.
I'm definitely putting a spin on that.
But his whole family died.
Yeah, but we don't know exactly know how.
Yeah, but he's rich, so.
Super rich, which often is a motive for murder.
Mm.
If Poirot is anything to go by.
Mm.
I've read a few different figures, but it's in the range of about $40,000 or over $1 million now. That's what he inherited.
I mean, it's good, but.
Yeah. Yeah. $1 million US dollars now, that'd be like what? What, like 10 palaces? Maybe.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Is that wealthy, is it?
Yeah. Well, you start with 10 palaces and you turn that into 100 palaces.
Right.
We're talking like palaces for dogs. Yeah, dog palaces.
Yeah.
But 100 dog palaces, imagine that.
Yeah.
You could get a pretty sweet dog palace for 100 grand, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And?
I'd knock one together for you for 100 grand.
Really?
Yeah.
You're putting that offer out there?
Yeah.
To any regal types listening?
Yeah. I'll bedazzle a kennel, no worries.
Get a hot glue gun and some little jewels, rhinestones.
Gold cellophane.
Yes.
Oh, no, you're talking about
it. Yeah.
You're hired.
Oh, well, I didn't say I'd do it for 100. I'll do it for 110.
Oh.
Wait, no, you don't understand how this works.
I'm subbing you out. I'm going to pay you by the hour, $20.
Oh, per hour?
Yeah.
Great, because it will take me 200,000 or 300,000 hours.
There you go. Everyone wins. I'll put the money in some sort of a bank account accruing interest.
Just to pay Dave.
Wow. You really are regal. So he's got money and he emigrated with his wealth to California in 1849, hoping to capitalize on the booming gold rush.
Right.
He arrived in San Francisco and grew his fortune by investing in commodities and the real estate market. And a few years later, by 1852, he was a well-respected member of the city. He was well-known and bloody rich.
When was the gold rush in Australia? Was it around the same time? Was it a little bit later? A
little bit later. I believe a lot of people left California to come and hang out.
It was like all the gold had dried up there, so they moved to Ballarat.
You got to go to the next rush. Yeah.
I mean, Ballarat's nice.
But it's...
It's not California.
It's not Hollywood.
Yeah. It's quite cold.
Is it? Yeah, actually,
yeah,
it's quite...
It's really chilly.
But gold.
Yeah. No, good point. I'd put up with the cold if I had gold to cover myself in for warmth.
Oh, yeah. Gold.
Is gold warm?
Oh, yeah. You better believe that conducts heat.
Mm.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you're regal. You've even exposed to gold.
It conducts heat if you know, there's heat for it to conduct.
Mm.
But...
It doesn't produce magic heat.
No, it doesn't produce magic
heat. Oh.
Sorry.
Right, you got to heat your gold for it to heat you.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
I'm not a scientist. I don't know this for sure. Maybe it does create its own heat. Mm. I've never seen it. Never been near it. That's why I want to be regal.
Just want to see gold.
Get me a gold. One gold. So he's bloody rich, but loss of money, as we all know, is never enough. Mm. And get even rich, even quicker scheme came along in 1852. A famine in China had drastically increased the price of rice as China had stopped exporting rice to the rest of the world. So the price of rice increased in America by 900%.
Whoa!
It went from 4 cents per pound up to 36 cents per pound.
Norton, I mean, 900% sounds so much more impressive.
900%. Let's stick with that then. Yeah, you didn't wall at 36 cents per pound.
Yeah, I was like, fucking bargain.
Now that's a bloody bargain. Norton. Our guy heard a ship from Peru called the Glide was on its way back to America with 200,000 pounds or 91,000 kilos of rice on board. He decided to buy the whole shipment for $25,000, which is about 12.5 cents per pound, hoping to flip it for three times as much as he'd paid. Get rich, get quick, boom, done.
91,000 kilos?
Yeah.
Fucking drop 1,000 kilos.
About 200,000 pounds.
Hmm.
If you drop 1,000 kilos, that won't be in kilter anymore.
No, but yeah, I know, but like it can't be perfect in both imperial and metric.
I imagine if you hate one of those, it's got to be imperial. If you like round numbers and shit.
Yeah.
You're metric all the way.
I'm a metric girl, big time. Have I not made that clear?
Living in a metric world.
Yeah.
Damn right. So he stood to make a fortune. He's like, I'm going to cash in big, baby.
On rice.
There was one problem.
Oh, no.
After he'd signed the contract and agreed to pay that huge price, 25 grand.
Oh, no.
And 12.5 cents per kilo, per pound, several other shiploads of rice arrived from Peru, causing the price of rice to drop drastically to just 3 cents per pound.
Cheaper than it was before.
Which is actually cheaper than what China was selling it for. So everyone's a winner except our guy.
Well, you just gotta sit on it for a while.
Yeah, there'll be another rice drought. Yeah.
And that's what he decided to build.
It doesn't go off.
Build a kingdom of rice.
He should have bought all those other ships of rice and then stockpiled it maple syrup high style.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Sold it by the grain.
Like it can't become a cartel.
Remember those TV ads for rice and it would like make the Taj Mahal out of rice? Yeah. And maybe he should just build himself a. Yeah, I think it was Sunbeam. He'd build himself a little mansion out of rice, all the rice Taj Mahal. He has.
Oh, yeah. He could have bedazzled a kennel with some rice, paint it gold.
Yeah, yeah. Put it in different bags and put some food dye in there. You got some fun coloured rice.
Yeah. You could throw it at people.
Brides
and grooms or anyone.
But then birds eat it and it's not good for them.
Yeah, but they didn't know that. We're talking about the 1800s,
mate. Come we on. Know it now.
Sure.
What can we throw now?
What, at birds?
Rocks.
I was thinking more at weddings.
Oh, yeah, rocks.
But, you know, decorated rocks.
What about glitter? No, glitter's bad too. God damn. You can't have any fun.
People blow bubbles.
Bubbles are fun. Unless they're in your eye.
You can't throw bubbles. You can throw shade.
I can.
That's what I do at weddings. You're
Turn
wearing
you
that?
Back to them.
Okay. Oh. Interesting choice on your big day. So obviously it's not a big deal for you.
But my congratulations.
Yeah, sure. I thought it was a big deal, but cool.
I feel silly for dressing myself up. Yeah.
I've really overdressed, haven't I? So should I change? Am I making anyone feel uncomfortable here?
I thought formal meant formal. That is, wow.
Okay.
So when are you changing into your dress? I assume this is just your getting ready dress.
Yeah. Or is this like an important family dress or something?
Did your nana wear that? Because she would have also looked awful.
Did your nana wear that?
That's probably the worst thing you could say. Your nana wore that, I assume.
Oh, is this a family heirloom?
Yeah. So you've got, there's something old, but where's the something new, something borrowed, something blue? You dress as shit. Sir, it's a suit. Oh, right. Okay,
sorry,
yes.
I'm new at showing that, okay, throwing that shade. Sir, this is a funeral.
Sir, make your purchase and leave my shop. It was in a shop all along.
Sir, drive through to the next window. What is a drive through?
When he said funeral, I imagined an open casket funeral and Matt is heckling someone's nan. Did your nan wear that? Oh, that is my nan. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, nan.
Yes, she did and is still. Okay.
All right, so bringing it back to rice.
Oh, yeah.
Norton, he tried to avoid the contract for the rice and sue the man that had sold it to him. He tried to backpedal out of the deal.
Oh, I don't know if you can sue him.
Well, he claimed the dealer had misled him as to the quality of the rice and had ripped him off. It went to court and it took over 3 years. He won a couple of times in the lower courts and they just kept appealing. And finally, it wound up in the Supreme Court where Norton lost.
Oh, my God.
So he lost the money on the rice and then had to pay these crazy legal fees as well.
Because it's been going on for 3 years.
And also, like, rather than doing his business ventures, he decided to just dedicate everything to this case. His real estate portfolio was foreclosed to pay the debt and he had to declare bankruptcy before falling off the map for several years.
Oh, man. And he doesn't, like, he's... Dad was the one who made all the money.
And then he, like, made it even more money. So he was extremely rich.
And
then
he lost it all. This is a riches to rags story.
Is this not the story of Trump? Yeah. When you say emperor, you mean president.
Yeah. A man who declared himself president. And somehow other people said, yeah, okay.
All right.
Wait, you're foretelling the future? Yeah.
So he fell off the map for a few years in the history books anyway. He most likely worked at a working class boarding house where he also stayed. So he went from living the high life to living a pretty measly life.
Wow.
7 years went past and by 1859, our guy Norton had become discontented and jaded by the American legal system and the overall political structure of the country. And when you want to change the system, what do? Do you run for office and change it from within?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, instead you send out a bunch of press releases to newspapers across San Francisco proclaiming
your new album.
Check it out.
I got a hot single dropping next week.
We are the world.
I reckon this music's going to change everything. No, the press releases proclaimed himself to be the emperor of these United States.
Okay. So you know that guy who does the scores for us at the start of the show, adds up who got the most questions right? I think zero is going to technically be correct.
I don't think so.
If this gets to an official place...
I gave it to Jess, and it was one.
I don't think he listens further in. He probably just listens to this question and then goes about his day.
He likes to listen to the worst part of the show.
This is what he wrote in his press release. At the peremptory request of a large majority of the citizens of these United States, I, Joshua Norton, formerly of Algoa Bay, Cape of Good Hope, and now for the last 9 years and 10 months past of San Francisco, California, declare and proclaim myself the Emperor of these United States. He goes on and signed it, Norton the First, Emperor of the United States.
Amazing. It's like giving yourself a nickname. Only the coolest people do it.
Yeah, he's just, Cobra.
He's just
what's up?
Proclaimed himself emperor. He's like, That's it. I'm emperor.
And it seemed to be written with the sincere belief that he was the unrecognized sovereign of the United States. The San Francisco Daily Evening Bulletin could sense a bit of a story and publish the letter in full as a humor piece.
Yeah.
They thought, people get a kick out of this.
Mm.
It was a real hit with readers and people wanted more of the eccentric man. It's unclear if he'd actually lost his mind or if he was just doing it for a bit of a laugh, but he became a real fixture of the city and he went along with it. And the city embraced him. Now, when you're emperor, self-appointed or not, you have to dress the part.
Of course. Robes.
Yes.
Some sort of headdress.
Yes.
Perfect. Sandals.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yes. I am crushing this. I'm going to stop while I'm ahead.
He wore a blue uniform with gold-plated epaulets that were actually given to him by officers of the United States Army. They were like, sure thing, Emperor. He wore the epaulets over a long blue uniform.
Brilliant.
And wore a beaver hat adorned with the feather of a peacock.
Of course.
Okay, you say a beaver hat like we know what that means.
Yeah, hat made from a beaver.
Okay. That does sound regal.
It's a bit, I imagine a...
Yeah, but then imagine it with a peacock feather.
Oh, okay, yeah. And it was like the king beaver when it died.
Oh, yeah, and the king peacock.
Yeah.
The emperor peacock.
Whoa.
We've killed the world's largest peacock.
For one feather.
I don't know if this sounds royal to you, but he also often carried a cane or an umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Because
regal people do not get wet.
No.
Nor do
unless
they...
Unless they accidentally bring a cane instead of an umbrella. That's embarrassing. Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Oh,
no. But where's my umbrella?
But it wasn't just for show. He dressed like an emperor, declared himself an emperor, but he had a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
He spent his days...
He had to emp.
Yeah, he was emping all over the town. He spent his days inspecting the city of San Francisco's sidewalks, their cable cars, public buildings, and would examine the appearance of police officers. And criticise those appearances.
Okay.
Pull up your socks, Roger.
Yeah, no, he has lost it.
I could arrest you, sir.
No, up with your socks. I'm the emperor.
He would walk the streets inspecting his realm and often ask people to pay him their taxes, often accepting a hot meal as payment.
Okay.
Basically, he just wanted free stuff.
Yeah.
Real, like a real switch up in his life.
Yeah.
Successful businessman to town eccentric.
Yeah.
It feels like a different person.
What happened in those 7 years?
I like
years?
The second one more.
Really?
Yeah. My goal is to go the other way around.
Okay. Well, you're already doing the eccentric part.
Exactly.
So you want to become
very kooky.
But you want to become a real success.
Yeah, I want to be a CEO.
Oh, okay.
I want to be in why are you laughing?
I mean, you're already an influencer on Instagram. You're only moments away from putting CEO of Jess Industries or something in your bio.
It's not a bad idea.
I think you should do it. I'm actually CEO of Labine Boy Industries. Can we just quickly talk about how Labine Boy has taken off on Twitter? Thanks to everyone following me on there.
What a life you're living.
I've been having a good time. Though. I must say an enemy has appeared on the horizon. I don't know if you've seen this. A rival Twitter account has been made. La Bean Boy.
Mm.
Dedicated to the wrong type of beans. Coffee beans.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Bean. I feel sick. I feel sick.
Yeah. I think I want to start up a campaign to get you away from your habit. Call it Dave
let's flick the bean. Give the bean a flick or something. We'll keep working.
And what's the how do I give the bean the flick? To stop eating baked
just
beans.
Just cold turkey. Well, which I know you'd probably enjoy, but.
Yeah, I love cold turkey. My goodness.
You got weird eating habits.
Cold turkey with beans on the side. Coffee beans? No. Baked beans? Yeah. Yes.
Probably stuffed. Turkey stuffed with beans.
Yeah.
Cold.
What about beans stuffed with turkey?
Oh, yes. Please.
Okay, yeah.
All on board?
Fun.
Yeah, to bean and to be, to bean and
to bean or not to bean?
Yeah. Like a tadukin, only.
Oh, understood, understood. Yeah.
Anyway, what was, where were we there?
So now he's a town eccentric.
People greeted him with bows when he passed.
Bows?
Bow. They bowed to him.
Oh, okay. They bowed to him.
They showed him their bows. No, they bowed to him as he walked past on his royal walks, and the city directory listed his occupation on the census as emperor.
Yeah.
So he was literally recognized by the government in even a small capacity as the emperor.
Wow.
Again, the point went to Jess. He became such a cult figure that theatres and restaurants would reportedly reserve prime seats for Norton, knowing that his very presence would be good for business and attract more customers.
What?
So he was an influencer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was the CEO of Emperor Industries. When the French later invaded America's neighbor to the south, he nurtured international relations by adding to his title Protector of Mexico. So now his full title was Norton I, Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico.
Great. Somebody's got to protect Mexico.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm the man for the job.
I'll do it.
Did he? He didn't do it by building a wall by chance.
That's right.
To protect it.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few similarities being seen here. Oh, goodness. But he wasn't just a ceremonial emperor, at least not in his own mind. He issued a number of decrees that he hoped would be followed.
Okay.
Basically introducing his own laws and rules that he hoped people would follow.
Hoped.
Well, he expected people to follow.
Yeah.
I should say he expected.
Right. But he can't really enforce anything, can he?
Well, I mean, no. I imagine that would have been the same thing. People would have said to him, mate, you can't enforce this, can you? Pause, thinking about it, hang on, carry the two. No. Oh, no, okay. His first decree came in 1859, soon after declaring himself emperor. He dismissed the governor of Virginia for hanging a man named John Brown and instead decided to appoint John C. Breckinridge of Kentucky to replace him.
Okay.
Sadly, his decree seemed to be ignored and the other governor kept on governing. So, all right, that's a bit of a slap in the face, but this didn't slow him down. On October 12 in that same year, he decided to formally abolish the United States Congress.
Okay.
He was just like, Congress is out. In his decree, he wrote...
Congress.
I was wondering why Congress doesn't exist in America anymore.
Why it stopped in 1859?
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
Okay, good.
Because he wrote, quote, fraud and corruption prevent a fair and proper expression of the public vote. That open violation of the laws are constantly occurring, caused by mobs, parties, factions, and undue influence of political sects. And the citizen has not that protection of person and property which he is entitled. End quote. Basically, you're all corrupt. Get the fuck out.
Congress is out.
I'm in.
I'm flicking out Congress. Yeah. Also, I call them the bean.
Yeah, from now on, second decree, we'll call Congress the bean.
Now let's flick the bean. Flick the bean. Flick the bean. He's trying to empower his people.
Sadly,
and it worked.
Yeah.
People did not join in on the chat. Again, unbelievably, he was ignored by Congress.
This is crazy.
Can you believe they didn't just quit? Because of him.
That's crazy. Get out. I mean, he said so. The emperor
said so. He's not just some crazy guy on the street.
He's the emperor.
Have you seen his epaulettes? They're made of gold.
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez.
Come on.
There's just no respect for emperors anymore these days.
They just can't get no respect.
Unbelievable.
In an imperial decree the following month, Norton summoned the army to depose the elected officials of the US Congress. They're like, they're not leaving. I'll get the army in.
Right.
The army declined to arrest Congress.
They declined.
They said, no thanks.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
Oh, I'd love to, but I'm busy that week. Oh, you could do it next week. Oh, very busy.
Oh, God, we're fighting a war. We're away from
what a
years.
Funny way for a military coup to begin. Some guy just goes, no, I'm in charge of the army now.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking down the government.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, he's wearing those epaulettes that we gave him.
Because they thought it'd be cute. Yeah.
Now he's telling us what to do.
Well, maybe we should. I don't know.
He's threatening to arrest us if we don't do this.
We're in a tough spot here.
We better do it.
I can't go to jail, man. I can't.
You know what they'll do to me in there, man? I'm too pretty for that shit. A couple of years went by. In 1861, the US was on the brink of a civil war between the North and the South, and the trusty emperor couldn't sit idly by and watch his kingdom destroy itself.
Of course not.
He had to act.
Yes.
He announced that he had dissolved the Union altogether, the people from the South, and replaced it with an absolute monarchy with himself at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Problem solved.
All done.
The Civil War was avoided and 1 million Americans didn't kill each other.
Hooray!
Yay!
Praise be to Emperor.
No, sadly, the Union also ignored him and they just went right ahead with their Civil War.
Huh. Oh, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. They could have saved themselves a lot of trouble, I'll tell you what.
Furious. If I was Joshua.
In 1862, he issued a decree that ordered both the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant churches to publicly ordain him as emperor.
What?
Are people still paying attention to this?
Yeah, he's still doing. I mean, basically, that's what happened with King Henry VIII, and he's doing that. And they've ignored him, sadly.
This is crazy. Why are so many people ignoring? Oh, my God. Weird twist. He's invisible.
He was dead all along.
Yes. Oh, my God. Dave, is he just a ghost haunting the streets?
He's a king ghost.
King ghost. Emperor ghost. Ghost emperor. That's a band. Ghost emperor.
That is all right.
That'd be sick.
A king ghost is when a bunch of ghosts all get tangled up together and they become one huge ghost. It's true. Look it up.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do they get tangled?
Their feet and tails. Ghosts get tails.
No, but like, what are they doing?
Oh, you don't want to know.
Oh, okay.
Twister?
Yeah, yeah.
That game, that's nude. That's a devilish game.
Nude Twister. Yeah. Oh, you're crazy.
Oh.
Gravity is not kind to the naked body.
No.
Yeah, well, the ghosts, they're pretty tight.
Oh, okay.
Oh, everyone put their crevice on red.
Left crevice red.
Left. Oh, but my right crevice is already on blue. I want to paint a picture here. San Francisco was a wild place at the time. And this will show a bit of it. Caricaturist Edward Jump started a rumor claiming that Norton, our emperor, had two dogs named Bummer and Lazarus, who were also local celebrities in the city.
Bummer.
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 Bummer and Lazarus.
Bummer?
I always thought of bummer as being a bit of an Aussie word. A bit of, that's a,
yeah.
What a bummer.
But yeah, is like that, a, like no, a down
that's
thing.
An American thing, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Just another thing we got from America. Do we have an original thought in our heads?
Bummer.
What a bummer.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a silly name.
I'm looking it up. In North America, apparently it means a loafer or vagrant.
Oh.
And these were street dogs, so maybe that's why they called it Bummer.
Loafer.
See,
here that means a shoe.
Yeah, this is confusing.
Isn't language amazing?
What?
A isn't shoe it, or you know, a vagrant?
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, who can crack the code, you know?
Do you know that there's other languages?
What?
I only just found out about these.
What?
I saw a listicle. There's at least 11 other languages.
No, there is not.
Yeah, some of them I haven't even heard of. German. What's wrong with these people? Speak English. Fuck. How easy is it? I mean, or how hard is it?
Yeah, well, we've got some German listeners, yeah. Dave, so just a bit of respect, please.
Do we?
Yeah.
But how do they understand us?
Oh, am I speaking German right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What is German?
I don't know.
We're like in one of those Hollywood Nazi movies where all the Nazis are speaking English, but with a bit of a German accent.
I love that. And then with that Tom Cruise film Valkyrie, they were like, we do not trust him to speak in a German accent. Everyone's American.
In that one, I remember they had everyone speaking German briefly, and then there was some, I can't remember what device they used, but there was like a switch, and then we heard them all with American accents from then on.
Oh.
I remember enjoying that film, but is it bad?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that bad of me to do?
Yeah. I just always find Tom Cruise. I'm just watching Tom Cruise. I can't believe he's anyone that isn't himself, in my opinion. Right. I know a lot of people love him, big box office superstar, but yeah. I just feel
what a long career at the top.
Yeah.
I know you like to cut those tall poppies down, Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
You're an underdog, man.
Pretty controversial to pile on Tom Cruise. Sorry, guys. I hate to be the one to say it. Tom Cruise. Maybe not that good, but still pretty good.
I think he is pretty good. Like, you can't suck. Anyway, whatever.
No, what about? I don't think he sucks. About...
It's just, he's always... I obviously just don't enjoy his character that he plays in every film as much as other people do.
But what about Tropic Thunder? Because it took me a long time to figure out that was him.
He was very funny in Tropic Thunder.
And you didn't automatically immediately know it was him, you know?
Mm.
Same in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I haven't.
Mike Myers.
Oh, right.
What, he was playing Mike Myers?
Yeah, Tom Cruise played Mike Myers playing like a Scottish guy.
Wow.
I know, it was wild.
I like that. I mean,
Mike Myers. When was the last time you didn't play a Scottish
character? He loves Scottish. He loves Scottish.
I think the guy was Scottish, or maybe his accent just went a little bit Shrek, and that's how I identified him.
I assume it was Scottish.
I think there was like, I was watching it not realizing, and then there was a word or a couple of words that sounded quite Shrek, and I was like, that sounds like Shrek. Oh, it's Mike Myers.
Because he wasn't based on a real person. I think it was an amalgamation. So
he was able to
choose his own accent.
Amalgamation.
And funnily enough, he chose Scottish.
Huh. It was an amalgamation of that character from So I Married an Ex-Murderer and Shrek.
And his dad.
I've started clicking because of the beat poetry and I Married an Ex-Murderer, but I didn't explain that at all. I just started clicking. I'm very tired. Yeah, that movie.
Anyway, sorry to all the Tom Cruise fans. Whoa.
Or Mike Myers fans.
I actually genuinely love Mike Myers. Wayne's World, one of the all-time greats.
Mm. Great film.
Anyway, so we were talking about Bummer and Lazarus, the two famous street dogs, often frequently seen together in cartoons, and it seemed that all the new locals knew them. So they're very famous in San Francisco.
Ah, famous doggos. What kind of dogs were they?
I'm actually not sure.
Oh, my God, Dave. Did you do any research at all?
I think that they were probably vagrants.
Ah.
Loafers.
Cute.
Yeah.
Mixture of a vagrant and loafer.
Loafers. I'm imagining little bread loaves with paws.
Yeah.
That's bloke. Oh, that'd be like a pug.
Sounds delicious.
Pugs are like little loaves of bread,
aren't
they?
Pugs are half bread. What happened? Our dog fucked a loaf of bread.
They're in bread. That's what pure breed dogs are, right?
Ugh.
Anyway. Dave, please.
So sorry. I just wanted to know.
Bummer and Lazarus. Apparently, the USA had a problem with stray dogs at the time, particularly in California. In Los Angeles, the number of dogs outnumbered people 2-1.
What?
Yeah, so a lot of, and this is street dogs. So people didn't love strays, but Bummer and Lazarus were an exception to the rule and were royalty amongst the people.
Aww.
They were prodigious rat killers, also had a problem with rats, and their abilities were written about in the papers, starting their reputations.
I wonder if the other dogs respected them too, like they were kings of the dogs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, dog kings often get their tails stuck together, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yep, because they're playing nude twister.
Little dog crevice. Once Lazarus was apparently captured by a new dog catcher who didn't know who he was.
Oh.
And a mob of angry citizens demanded that he be released. And he was.
Oh, amazing.
And I imagine that guy got a strict talking to by his commander.
You think you just go out there and catch dogs?
What?
Is that what you think your job is?
Huh?
Yeah, I'm a dog catcher.
You're
not just any dog.
You're not half the dog catcher your father was. Then the cartoonish Jump, who's the cartoonist I mentioned before, started featuring Norton in the cartoons with the dogs, and that implied that the emperor owned them. So people started just assuming that, the emperor owns these dogs.
Right.
Sadly, Lazarus died, believed to be poisoned, and thousands of people showed up for the dog's funeral. That's how popular he was. And again, to show how wild San Francisco was at this time, the cartoonist depicted the dog's funeral with Norton acting as the Pope.
Sure.
And another famous eccentric of the time called Freddie Coombs depicted as digging the dog's grave.
Okay.
Freddie Coombs was famous for claiming to be the reincarnation of George Washington.
Right.
Apparently, he looked a lot like George Washington and people started to embrace his claims. Now, not much is written about Freddie, so I have to quote from Wikipedia here, but this is what it says about him. Quote, for a time, he was as a popular figure as Joshua Norton, the Emperor of the United States, and his deeds were reported in local newspapers. He left the city after a feud with Norton, who he thought was jealous of his reputation with the fairer sex, and decided to return to his native New York City. End quote.
We just don't have eccentrics like that.
No, we
anymore,
certainly don't
do
have people
we?
Claiming to be George Washington and like apparently doing well with the ladies.
Yeah. Well, the ladies love a bit of George Washington.
I reckon we could find some people out there claiming to be old presidents, but I don't know if it's doing much for them.
Mm.
You don't think, yeah.
Sexually.
Yeah, or otherwise.
Yeah.
God knows I've tried. Anyway, George Washington in the house. What's up, ladies?
Ladies?
Oh.
Have you tried Ned Kelly?
Ned Kelly's in the house.
What's he was a bush ranger, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, self-described.
Everyone's ducking for cover. I'm not robbing you.
I might steal your heart.
He's going to take our hearts out.
Oh, God. No, I just meant I'm going to steal some kisses.
Well, consent's important.
Yeah.
I murdered a policeman.
Oh, now I'm listening. Yeah.
So that was just a story of just showing that San Francisco was a bit of a kooky place at the time.
It still is. You know Metallica are from there?
Is that true? God, that last guy's a bit of a crazy man.
Grew up playing tennis. I was quite good at it.
Sometimes you got to make a choice. Starting the world's most famous heavy metal band or playing tennis.
Yeah. Or working on that forehand. Yeah.
Finally, on Lazarus the dog, the body was stuffed and put on display. And then, as was Bummer when he eventually died a few years later, but sadly both were destroyed in the early 20th century, so you can't see Bummer and or Lazarus.
Oh, that's annoying. How did they stuff Bummer?
Through the throat.
Huh.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Throat stuffing. Okay, but back to our beloved emperor.
Yeah.
Are you guys liking this guy?
Nah.
Matt?
Nah, I do. Do you respect his authority? No. No, but it makes for a fun story now, many, many, many years later.
150 years
later.
Yeah.
Well, in January 1867, an overzealous patrol special officer named Armand Barbier.
Armand. That feels like a modern celebrity's daughter's name, you know.
Armand. My
daughter Armand Milk Armand.
No, you saw what their latest child is.
Yeah, pecan.
and I love it.
What is the
I'm latest? Saving pistachio for mine.
Oh, I love cashew.
The latest is Psalm.
Psalm
West.
P-S-A. Yep. Wow. Are they religious? Is that that's like a religious song. That's what Psalm means, right?
Yeah, so now they've got...
Sort of?
North.
Oh, North and True.
North.
They've got a kid Saint. Called True.
Isn't that True West?
No.
I'm pretty sure there is.
They have a kid called True West.
No.
Is that not right?
Saint, Chicago, and Psalm.
Chicago's cool.
I think I've just made... I was certain that they had a kid called True West.
You never trust me.
Well done. And the other one, sorry, I zoned out because I was so obsessed with proving myself right.
So
did you say Chicago?
Chicago. And the most recent one is Psalm.
Psalm.
And imagine, like, him introducing himself is going to be like, hi, I'm Psalm West. Sorry, did you say Sam?
I think
no,
that
I
would
wish.
Be a problem for a lot of people, but probably not for Psalm West.
Yeah, good point.
Kanye West is, only minutes away from declaring himself to be the second emperor of the United States.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Armand Barbier arrested Majesty Norton I for involuntary treatment of a mental disorder. He was like, you're acting a bit crazy. I'm going to take you in. But again, there was a major public uproar. The chief of police, Patrick Crowley, had to apologise to the emperor and ordered to have him released. Several scathing newspaper editorials followed the arrest, and it was terrible PR for the police. From then on, all the police officers began to salute Norton when he passed them on the street to keep him on side.
Oh, my God, this is wild. And I love it.
One thing that really got the goat of our emperor was people not paying respect to the city he loved so much, San Francisco. He hated it when people didn't pay the city full respect and attempted to shorten the title with a nickname.
San Fran.
He would have hated that. But he hated one even more. So he issued a decree. Have you ever heard any other shortening of San Francisco?
No, SF.
Yeah, that seems silly.
Sunny F.
This is
Safra.
You would have hated Safra.
Safra?
Safra?
We're heading to Safra for the winter.
Oh, delightful.
He wrote, whoever after due and proper warning shall be heard to utter the abominable word Frisco.
Oh.
Frisco.
Which has no linguistic or other warrant shall be deemed guilty of a high misdemeanor and shall pay into the imperial treasury as the penalty the sum of $25.
$25 if you say Frisco.
If you heard saying Frisco, he wanted you to be fined because he hated it so much.
Frisco.
You are living on the seat
I'm paying
of your
on the
pants.
I'm paying on the Do Go On credit card. Wow. Don't you worry.
Stop it.
Frisco.
No, we can't afford it.
Do you know where I'd like to go on holiday?
Where?
Just duck over to Frisco.
What?
There were I think I remember this. A lot of Italian outdoor restaurants got in a lot of trouble financially around that time.
Fresco.
Oh, fresco.
He kept going,
it's close.
Al fresco.
What did I hear you say?
Sorry, what? He's rattling his can. Yep, huh? Say it again, I dare you.
We've got al fresco dining. Yeah. Oh, do you now?
Oh, okay, tell me more about it.
You've got what, sorry?
Yeah.
We're up to 50.
Papa's eating tonight.
But not here.
Not here. This is disgusting. I love eating indoors. He continued to make demands, some for the country and some for himself.
Mm.
In 1870, he signed a decree that the Grand Hotel should furnish his rooms under penalty of being banished. It's unsure if they complied or not.
So he didn't have furniture.
Well, he wanted better furniture. I like this furniture. Let me just sign something. Give me your furniture.
More.
Or you will be banished. Okay.
By order of the emperor.
The police do seem to salute him now. So
yeah.
Maybe we
better
should.
Give him my chaise lounge.
Mm. Well, one of his pet projects was that he wanted to build a suspension bridge between San Francisco, Frisco, and Oakland. He signed a decree ordering.
Oaky.
He signed a decree ordering for the bridge to be built in March 1872. He followed it up with another decree in September 1872 that ordered a survey to determine if a bridge or tunnel would be the best possible means to connect Oakland and San Francisco. He also ordered the arrest of the Board of Supervisors for ignoring his earlier decrees.
And for ignoring that one.
Under penalty of death. As his celebrity grew, Norton I became a cherished mascot for the city of San Francisco. History.com writes, quote, photos of him in his imperial dress were popular souvenirs, and Emperor Norton dolls found their way into shops around the city.
Oh, my God. There's dolls of him.
Yeah, he's the hottest toy. All the kids want to play.
He's got to be getting some of those royalties, though, right?
Well, he remained poor in terms of actual cash, but he was well looked after by the city and lived a pretty comfortable life.
Okay.
Restaurateurs allowed him to skip out on his tab in exchange for the right to post an imperial seal of approval that read, quote, by appointment to his imperial majesty, Norton I. So they'd put a sign in the window that says, basically, the emperor dines here.
Yeah.
So he could dine there for free and hopefully other people would be like, oh, the emperor dines here.
He what? He was an influencer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jess, this guy's your god.
Yes.
Jess. You should do what he does here. In 1871, a local company even printed his own official currency, which apparently was accepted at some places, and also sold as souvenirs throughout the rest of the city. Apparently, the few remaining examples are worth a pretty penny to collectors today.
One penny, that's
a good. Pretty penny.
Like a good-looking penny.
Okay, all right.
That's like a hot penny.
Yeah, hot Penelope, please.
Cruz?
Yeah, Cruth.
Cruth.
Oh, yeah. Penelope Cruth. The best of the Cruthers. He was well-liked, and when his uniform wore out, the army gave him another one to replace it. And local lawmakers, seeing his deep connection to the city, helped furnish his royal wardrobes using public funds. So the city paid for his clothes.
Far out.
He's living a pretty sweet life. Rumours spread about him throughout his life, though. A popular story of the day was that he was the son of Emperor Napoleon III and that his claim of coming from South Africa was actually a ruse to prevent persecution.
Okay.
Oh.
So, I mean, I don't know why you come from South Africa, pretend to be a businessman, disappear, and then be like, actually, I am the emperor, and then still try and go under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't want to make a big fuss. I'm the emperor, and I'll make a few decrees here and there, but nothing to see.
Flying under the radar.
Yeah. No, please. I don't like the fuss.
Can I also have some new gold epaulets?
I'm just going to eat here for free. Thank you. Like, cool. Also, I'm the emperor.
Rattling his tin.
Yeah, you can't say Frisco. Okay, bye.
Rumors also circulated that Norton was supremely wealthy and was feigning poverty because he was actually a tight ass. He just wanted free stuff.
A lot of really wealthy people are, you know.
Absolutely.
Quite frugal. It's how they get so wealthy.
Damn right.
Whereas me, I don't have a lot of cash, but boy, can I spend it.
Yeah, wow. You're spending other people's money.
Yeah.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, I'm bad at this. Help me.
Please. Help me by sending $1 too. There were also rumours that he would marry Queen Victoria to closer bind the United States with the United Kingdom.
That would have been so good.
Look, I know you're already very, very happily married, but I am an emperor. You, in a way, are an emperor.
I'm just an emperor standing in front of another sort of emperor. Asking that sort of emperor.
Asking him via a royal decree. Please, sign here. Newspapers also made up decrees that he'd also supposedly ordered just to sell papers. So these sensational stories are written about him. Although the ones that I've read out are all listed on the Virtual Museum of the City of San Francisco website, and they claim that they're all been fact-checked and that he actually issued those. So if these are the real ones, imagine how crazy the made-up ones were. Crazy.
All dogs are called Ben.
All right.
That's wild.
It's not even a good dog name.
No, I'll do it. I'll take it over Bummer.
Bummer.
I'd rather yell at Ben at the park than Bummer.
Hey, Bummer.
Bummer. Bummer, 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 Bummer.
You like Bummer's this, Dave. One of my friends, Steph, she listens to this podcast. Hello, Steph. She has a cute little white dog, and his name is David.
Really?
Yeah. It's such a
Does
fun.
Does David listen as well?
I'm assuming David listens.
Here, David. Here, David.
Good boy.
You're a good boy, David.
You're a good boy.
Hold on. Are you talking to me or the dog?
Well.
You know.
Who's a good boy?
Yes, I am.
No, it's not you.
That's not you.
Oh,
Dave.
I'm a bad boy.
No, please. Dave. You're a neutral boy. Yeah. You're an unconfirmed boy.
Oh. That's true.
We've not confirmed if you're a boy or not.
Can we get some confirmation there, Dave?
Yeah, how can you confirm that you're a boy?
Can't confirm nor deny. Remain neutral.
Anyway, cute little dog named David.
Oh, hello, David. It's great to have you on board.
Mm.
Sadly, all good things must come to an end. And on the evening of January the 8th, 1880, Norton, Emperor the First, collapsed on the street.
Oh, no.
A police officer immediately...
But he loved streets.
I have never heard someone talk about someone dying in that way. All good things must come to an end. He died. That is the weirdest way I've ever heard someone say someone died. You mean life?
Yeah.
All good things have got to come to an end.
Yeah.
There's an expiry date on everything, Matt.
Yeah. Nothing matters.
Is this the first time you've considered your own mortality? And it just took me saying all good things must come to an end.
This is a real weird, way to phrase it.
Life's pretty good. All good things come to an end. Does life come to an end?
Oh.
I'm so sorry to be the one to break it to you.
Oh, no.
Hmm.
I got to make a call.
Just one?
Who
are you calling? Who are you calling? Tell us.
Doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor, please, don't let me die.
Don't let me drown.
Doctor.
So he collapsed on the street. A police officer immediately called a carriage to take him to hospital, but sadly the emperor died of a stroke before the carriage could get there.
Oh, no.
He was approximately 62 years old, although this is also debated by some very dull people.
Of course it is.
Well, all good things must come to an end.
That's right.
He died.
Well, 62.
I'm trying to make it positive. Looking into the good part, he had a good life.
And then it ended.
Mm.
Thank goodness. News of his passing made it into newspapers across the country. Le Roi est mort, or The King is Dead, read the headline of the Chronicle. A headline in the Morning Call newspaper read, Norton the First, by the grace of God Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico, departed this life.
That is a long headline. What were they thinking?
What, I mean, is there a reason you haven't heard of the Morning Call newspaper?
Yeah.
They didn't have articles. They just had headlines.
There's one page.
Everything in bold, large font.
That's kind of
I like
Twitter.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, another newspaper just said, all good things come to an end. Huh?
That sounds like a stupid newspaper.
Yeah, the New York Times. Whilst there were rumours of him being secretly wealthy, after he died it became very obvious that this was definitely not the case.
Mm.
He had led a very modest life. For 17 years he had lived at the Eureka Lodging House in a very small room with few possessions. He was found to have only $6 or $7 on him when he died. Also found in his room were fake telegrams, supposedly from Emperor Alexander II of Russia, congratulating Norton on his forthcoming marriage to Queen Victoria, and another one from the President of France, predicting that such a union would be disastrous to world peace. It's not clear if he thought these were real or if he knew they were fake and had just kept them as a joke. So people were sending him fake telegrams.
Oh, my God.
Initially, because of his poverty, he was going to be buried in a basic pauper's coffin, and as he had no money for a proper funeral, but a group of business owners from San Francisco raised the funds to buy him a much nicer coffin and to pay for a proper send-off, which was quite nice, actually, because a few days later, over 10,000 San Franciscans turned up to pay their respects at his funeral and the surrounding streets.
10,000 people?
Set up a bit of a parade for him, yeah.
Whoa!
And people from different classes came together to say goodbye to America's first and only emperor. Norton was buried in the Masonic Cemetery at the expense of the city of San Francisco, so they decided to pay for his burial.
So he didn't have an heir?
No heir, no, nor spare.
Mm.
So that's why there's only one.
Yeah, right.
Do you reckon I could get 10,000 people at my funeral?
No.
No, you're right. Keep it small and intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I know what you're like.
Exclusive.
Yeah, you don't like making a big deal
VIP.
Out of
things.
Yeah, very important.
Perkins.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome to my funeral. What's up? So that is his life. He had a lasting impact on the city of San Francisco and has inspired characters in popular culture. Mark Twain worked as a journalist in San Francisco during his reign and later went on to use the emperor as the model for the King, a royal imposter who appears as a character in his 1885 novel, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Cool.
And Robert Louis Stevenson made Norton a character in his 1892 novel, The Wrecker.
Yeah, right.
So,
which is originally going to be titled Bummer.
But yeah, The Wrecker means something different over there in Scotland, where he's from.
Has it any ever been in film or anything like that? Any characters?
There are a bunch of characters that people say, oh, that's loosely inspired by Emperor Norton. Yeah.
Funny, it feels like there should be some sort of biopic.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Playing him.
Playing Johnny Depp.
I'd cast Tom Cruise.
He is versatile.
He's so versatile.
He could do anything.
He can do.
Because, I mean, the Emperor did a bunch of
He
shot guns off a motorbike and stuff, right?
I just wonder if Tom Cruise could pull off eccentric. That's my biggest query about.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know if there'd be enough stunts that he could demand to do and then go into excruciating detail on talk shows about how he did it. Man, that's so boring. He's like, yeah, I spent 9 years trying to fly a helicopter for this one stunt. We don't give a fuck.
Who cares? Let us
stuntman
do it.
There are professionals that do this. You're an actor.
Mm. Act.
And you play one character.
That is the thing. Like, if you're a real actor, you'll pretend to fly that helicopter.
Yeah, I know.
Without knowing how to.
Yeah, I know. He's like, no, I have to fly the helicopter. Do you have to skydive?
So he's a control freak.
Do you have to go to space? Did you have to go to Mars? I mean.
Did he do that?
If you don't get it, he's method. You don't get that. Fair enough. But I thought you were dramaturgs, but maybe not.
You're the one with the drama degree.
Yeah.
That's right.
You were including me in that.
Yeah, you were captain of the drama club or something.
I was more than fucking captain of the drama. Unbelievable. The more drama club. Yuck.
Well, drama captain, I believe it was.
Thank you.
Of some sort
something
of
drama club was for year sevens and eights, and it was on Monday lunchtimes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess in a way I was the captain of that in that I ran it for the younger students to try and get them involved in drama and open up and be vulnerable in the space.
Yeah.
A little something you could learn a thing or two about.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm so sorry you had to see that.
Hey, that was fantastic.
And scene. That was really great. Thank you.
Well, loved that.
Did you believe it?
That was so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I could feel that tension. I wanted to laugh.
Jess and I have been staying back after our recordings and working on a little.
Oh, your own drama club.
Piece. Yeah.
We got a drama club.
Yeah. Great
that's
work.
That's a little bit of a look into the world we've created.
That was seriously impressive, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing with the group.
Yeah, thank you.
We do it while we're learning to fly helicopters.
Yeah. Mm. It's only going to take us 9 years and it's for one scene. But I think. It will show.
I think it will.
I think audiences will be able to sense the authenticity.
That's the thing. Because so many actors look like they're flying helicopters and you never go, he's not doing it. This film sucks. I can't believe this action film isn't real.
But you also never look and go, I reckon he's actually doing that.
It's only when he's on Graham Norton talking about it that you go, oh, he actually did that.
I reckon Scarlett Johansson can fly that alien spaceship without any training or it speaking English.
That is when it pays for itself, though, is when he's promoting the movie, I guess. Gives him something to talk about.
Oh, it pays for itself.
Yeah. That 9 years. Your 2 minute anecdote.
I got 2 minutes out of that 9 years of training. Finally on Norton, he's left quite a legacy. And since 1974, the Imperial Council of San Francisco has been conducting an annual pilgrimage to Norton's grave just outside of San Francisco. So people there for that city is still a cult hero. Whilst his royal decree was ignored at the time, his dream of building a bridge to Oakland eventually came to fruition in 1936 with the opening of the Bay Bridge. Apparently, it's in the exact spot that he suggested.
Oh, that's cool.
So there you go.
I love that.
There have been campaigns over the years to get them to rename at least part of the bridge after Emperor Norton, but so far it hasn't officially changed its name. The Emperor's Bridge Campaign is a San Francisco-based non-profit that was set up in 2013 to advance the Emperor's legacy.
Yeah.
And that is my report on Joshua Norton, the first and so far only, at the time of recording, Emperor of the United States of America.
Well done, Dave.
And Protector of Mexico. Thank you.
When you started, I was like, I was kind of waiting for him to do something a bit fucked and then we'd hate him. I think I'm just so used to like serial killer episodes where they start off, you talk about their early childhood and they're like normal kids.
And they're achieving things. You're like, cool.
Yeah, they're like, oh, he's really good at sport. And you're like, oh, cool, good for this kid. And then by the end, you're like, I'm so sorry I said he was good at sport. Oh. But, so I was just waiting the whole time. I felt very reserved. I didn't allow myself to be vulnerable.
To be honest, it was just a practical joke that he committed to for
a decade
and a half.
I love people who commit to jokes.
And it's still unsure if he thought it was a bit or if he was actually
that
thinking.
Committed to the video was.
Yeah. I think he was a bit.
He got so into it. Yeah, wasn't
Should have been committed.
Yeah. Was he loopy?
Was he committed? Or should he have been committed?
Well, they tried, and then that police officer was basically fired.
Yeah, right.
That's wild.
He might be my new favorite Norton.
Oh, really? Okay, take that, Edward.
Yeah, Edward, Graham, Jim, DW. Oh. They've all dropped down the list.
Quite a few Norton's.
One
Norton,
spot.
Isn't it?
All of them down one.
All of them down
who
one.
Who was previously? Who's number two now?
Number two, that's gotta be Graham.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
He's really grown on me. That's a fun. As far as late night shows go, that's a.
I really like it as well.
Bloody fun.
I mean, he gets all star guests. Huge.
I saw Keanu on last week. Talking about John Wick.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he seem like a nice guy?
He does, and he talked about on it. He said how he Graham Norton was like, you do all your own stunts. He's like, no, not really. I do all of my own action. I don't do the stunts. Stunt doubles do that.
I saw
they
that
won't
too.
Let me. And
I was like, fucking take a note, Tom Cruise.
I was thinking you would have really enjoyed that interview. And
yeah, I did watch it.
Yeah, right.
To be honest, he's really such a nice guy, but he's so nice that it's kind of boring because every time you try and tell a fun story with him, like, oh, you've done this is in the same interview, you've done a lot of ballroom dancing. And he goes, no, I haven't. Yeah, you've done a lot of ballroom dancing, trying to get an anecdote out of him. He's like, no, I'm not a ballroom dancer. And he goes, all right, well, you literally did a lot of training for ballroom dancing for a film. And he goes, oh, yeah, I did a bit of that, but I'm not a ballroom dancer. He's just too modest. Tell a bit.
Do the bit, yeah.
Do the bit.
Monkey boy.
Dance, monkey.
But there you go.
An eccentric dude. Loved it.
Who, Keanu or...
Yes.
Emperor the First.
Everyone. I love everyone.
Joshua Norton. Yeah, I'd never heard of that guy, so I'm really glad that he was brought to my attention because I'm glad that he once existed.
He once existed.
Before, sadly, things have to come to an end.
All good things do.
All good things. Much like this episode, but before we do that, can we just quickly shout out to some of our Patreon supporters?
I refuse to do it quickly. I'm going to say their names very slowly.
Very slowly. If you're not familiar, we have a Patreon that supports this show, but as well as our other podcasts, Primates, about primates and popular culture that Matt Stewart hosts every single week.
It's a comedy podcast about pop culture, movies and other such things like TV shows. Dragon Ball Z we did recently. This week's episode is about Aladdin, the Disney film from 1992.
I can show you the
good fun.
World.
Who was on that one with you?
Cameron James and Alexei Toliopoulos.
Ah, two cinephiles.
Yes.
What a dream team.
It's a crossover episode with their Total Reboot podcast. I said both for all of those words wrong. Total Reboot podcast.
There you go.
But before we get on to thanking those patrons, what we normally do is everyone's favorite segment of the show. It's the fact, quote, or question section. So the way this works is if you're on the Sydney Sheinberg level of Patreon support, rest in peace, Sydney, you get to give a fact, a quote, or a question. And then we'll read that out. And you also get to give yourself a title. And this week's fact, quote, or question is a quote. And it comes from many time fact, quote, or questioner and maybe one of the longest Patreon supporters in terms of height, I guess, but also in length of time supporting, Richard Frederick Schubert III.
Oh, definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, big time.
And his title is Caveman. And his quote...
I love that, because often it's like a crazy, elaborate thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate the
Caveman.
Caveman. All right, nice.
Sweet.
And like I normally say, I don't read these before we do it, so here we go.
Well, here comes some hate speech.
It looks long. Yeah, I know.
Matt hasn't even read the quote yet.
Yeah, oh, God. It just comes out of his mouth.
Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? Or Plagueis? Either of you Star Wars people? I forget. Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? I thought not. It's not a story the Jedi would tell you. It's a Sith legend. Darth Plagueis was a dark lord of the Sith. So powerful and so wise, he could use the Force to influence the midichlorians to create life. He had such a knowledge of the dark side that he could even keep the ones he cared about from dying. The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural. He became so powerful, the only thing he was afraid of was losing his power, which eventually, of course, he did, as all good things must come to an end. Unfortunately, he taught his apprentice everything he knew. Then his apprentice killed him in his sleep. Ironic, he could save others from death, but not himself. That's the quote.
Wow. I mean, is that just the plot of the next Star Wars film?
Yeah, spoilers.
I feel like it's on Know Your Meme, The Tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise. Apparently it's a meme. So this is a joke on us I don't get, but...
I thought it sounded pretty cool and I'd like to see it in the next Star Wars film.
Yeah, maybe it is a cool thing and maybe he did explain it. I didn't copy that part over. Anyway, maybe I'll look that up while...
Thank you to Richard Frederick Schubert III.
Thank you so much.
The caveman.
The caveman. And like we do most weeks, I've come up with a game that we can play while we thank people.
All right.
That's right. We would like to thank some people by name. So patreon.com/dogoonpod if you want to support the show. You can get 2 bonus episodes a month. We announce our live shows first and foremost on there and there's pre-sales, other kind of stuff. You get access to the Facebook group, which is very, very active these days and a lot of fun. And, also you just have to support the show, support Primates and support my other podcast, Book Cheat, all at the same time.
And this week I thought maybe we could give them a title like Emperor, you know, a dignitary. They could be some sort of dignitary or a, yeah. Is there enough of them? I can't think of that many, but we'll come up with some. Who wants to kick it off?
I will.
Okay, Dave.
I would like to thank right here in Australia from Clarencetown, New South Wales.
I love
which
that.
Which sounds like Matt made it up.
Clarencetown.
Town full of Clarence.
Yeah, bloody full of Clarence Hunts over there.
Oh, am I right? From Clarencetown, New South Wales, I'd like
Clarencetown,
to thank.
Clarencetown, that is the best.
I've never heard of it, but I like it.
So good.
I would like to thank Joanna Wade.
Joanna Wade.
Is that a title?
No, I just said that I was going to say the name slowly.
I like when you commit to a bit.
I commit to a bit. Joanna's title is...
What about Viscountess?
What's a Viscountess?
The female version of a Viscount.
What the fuck's a Viscount?
Viscount. He's saying it funny for comedy. Get it? He mispronounced the word on purpose.
I don't know what a Viscount is.
It's like a low-level dignitary guy.
Wouldn't you just be nobility. A count? What's the difference between a Viscount and a Count?
I don't know. Maybe is it just a more European-sounding
one? Cool. I like it.
Let's go with it.
Cigarettes, I believe.
I'm learning as
well. Viscountess or Viscountess, Joanna Wade.
Joanna Wade. Thank you, Your Excellency.
It's a ranking above a Baron but below an Earl.
Okay.
Damn right.
Damn straight. All right.
But still pretty high up there, can I just say.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not a peasant.
You're above a baron, for God's sake.
Yeah. And Baron's great fun.
Baron's very good.
Baron, Baroness. Great metal band, Baroness.
Of course.
But of course.
I would also like to thank, so thanks to Joanna. I would also like to thank from Perth in Great Britain.
Oh.
My fan, that's where my Scottish ancestors are from, Perthshire.
Yeah, Perth and Kinross specifically.
Cool.
There you go. Perth and Kinross. I was one of the 32 council areas of Scotland's Lieutenancy area. Well, I think I know what we're going to call him. Christopher Skilling.
Skilling.
General Christopher Skilling.
A switcheroo.
Could you be more specific?
General. That took me a sec.
Major General Lieutenant Christopher Skilling.
Oh, that's big.
That's big. That's big, baby. So thank you so much.
Thank you to General Christopher Skilling. Can I thank some people as well?
Please.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank, and we don't know where he's from because there's nothing listed here, but that doesn't mean he's not always in our hearts.
Mm. I think we should just say his address is our hearts.
Yeah, okay. Our hearts. But our hearts are usually in 3 different places.
Right, that's true.
So,
but when we come together.
Mega heart.
Yeah.
We got a heart on. I would like to thank Derek Cloonan.
Derek Cloonan.
Cloonan.
Where's Cloonan from? Did you say?
We don't know.
We don't know. He's from our hearts. I understand what you're talking about. Derek Clunan.
Clunan.
Clunan. Okay. So I think of Clunan, I think of Clooney.
Of course. Me too.
What's he most famous for? What's his most...
Nespresso.
Nespresso. Mm-hmm. Okay. So
what's coffee. Nespresso is a type coffee. Of coffee.
Bean. Who drinks coffee?
People. Bean counter.
Bean counter.
The count. He's a vampire.
Vampire Derek Clunan.
My vampire. Favorite row rank.
Vampire.
Ah.
Yeah.
We got there.
Vampire. Yeah. What a good title.
Is that
vampire.
A title?
Vampire.
He's the vampire of our hearts.
Yeah.
Vampire of our hearts. I do like that, actually.
Derek Clunan.
Thank you,
take
Derek.
A long walk off a vampire.
Well, I would also like to thank another person from Pierre in SD, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Alan Harstad.
Say that again for me.
Alan Harstad.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Thank you. Alan. Alan. Alan.
Chief Surgeon.
Yes! Chief Surgeon Alan Harstad.
Obviously an honorary title. Alan, do not practice any surgery.
Yeah, please don't open anybody up.
Yeah, please. But you are the official Chief Surgeon of Dugan.
Unless it's an emergency. Then
yeah,
I think.
In which case, I mean, yeah, I guess you could try.
Is there a doctor on board? On a podcast, I was named a Chief Surgeon.
That'll have to do.
Well, does that bring it up to me?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to thank all the way from Deutschland, specifically...
in New Mexico.
Alden.
Oh, wow.
In Deutschland.
Oh, do they speak German there?
I think they are.
Wow.
Ooh.
But I think they actually phrase it, sprechen the Deutsch.
Oh.
Sprechen the Deutsch?
Sprechen the German.
And I'd love to thank Tina... I'll strike.
Oh.
Could you, you know German. Can you, how do you,
yeah,
how
you're
would you
fluent
pronounce
in German.
That? Well, you got German blood on your hands.
Well, Ostrike. I think that's probably bloody as close as I'm going to get. Ostrike. Also, I don't speak a Zigerman.
Right.
Which I hadn't spoken
don't
before.
Don't speak a Zigerman.
Is that the surname of one of the main characters from American Pie?
What?
Al Striker. The guy who ended up in the choir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that guy. I'm looking at it's a German surname. Notable people with the surname include Elizabeth Ostreich, German middle distance runner, James R. Ostreich, American music critic, Marcus Ostreich, German racing driver, and Nancy Ostreich Laurie, American anthropologist.
Huh.
There's a few people there, but no one with a title. And I think we should, the first Ostreich to get a title should be Tina. And what are we going to call her?
I would say,
Duchess. I like Duchess. It's nice.
It does sound nice, doesn't it? Sounds like you should have tea with them.
Yeah, Duchess. You go have tea with the Duchess.
That's like, what's that? It's Duke and Duchess.
Hmm.
Right. I wonder, where does that rank there, Dave?
Pretty high.
It's pretty high. I guess it was,
I mean,
that's a Prince Harry.
Yeah, Prince Harry's a Duke.
Right. So
Meghan
it's like just below.
Is a Duchess. Is she a Duchess? Yes.
But he's also a Prince. So is it above or below a Prince?
I think it sits alongside.
Yeah.
Right. I see.
I'm guessing you.
Oh, he's both, I guess. I don't know. I just wanted to use Duchess before the day was out.
Apparently, Duke is the highest of the 5 degrees of English nobility.
Hmm.
Huh. So I guess that's in a separate thing from King and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Philip's also he's also the Duke of Edinburgh. Is that right?
Yes.
And then there's the grand old Duke of York who had 10,000 men. They marched him up to the top of the hill and then they marched him down again.
Of course. They're named after that man.
Yeah.
Of course. So thanks to Tina in Deutschland. How cool that you're listening over there.
Awesome.
And I think we've almost gone through all the British ones. So maybe the last one there could be four from Vancouver in British Columbia. Katarina Guitare. Guitares.
Yep.
Guitares.
Katarina Guitares.
And so you want to avoid British.
Well, no, we haven't done King or Queen or Prince, Princess, but we've done.
We haven't done
Duke / Duchess. We've done Countess / Earl.
What other kind
we've
of?
We've done Viscount. We've done Baron. But we haven't done Marquess, Marquise, Marchioness. What's that? What do you call that? What's that one there? What does that mean?
I think
what's that all about?
Marquise.
Yeah, there's Marquis and there's Marquess. Yeah. Marquess, I should say.
But then the feminine of it, what's that? I've never seen that before. I'm guessing it. If I heard it, I'd understand what it was.
Marchioness.
Marchioness. That's pretty cool.
Let's go with that.
Love it.
Marchioness.
/ CEO of Jess Industries.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Jess, you did not get the gig.
Sorry.
What job
no,
do
you're
I
CFO.
Have?
Yeah.
You're the I'm terrible with money.
And no, it's can fuck off.
You're fired. We're a startup. We don't do things normally. We do things wacky. We play table tennis. We work you to death for $5 an hour.
We tell our founder to fuck off.
Yeah.
Can fuck off.
We're kooky.
Up to you, though. Can, just an
can.
Option.
Can. You can fuck off.
Believe
if you want
yourself.
To, but like we encourage it.
So thank you to all the peeps there. Joanna, Christopher, Derek, Alan, Tina, Katarina.
Please send in photos wearing your official Regal gear.
Fantastic. Yes. We'll share them with everyone, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But of course.
At Jess Industries, we have a very specific uniform. Everybody comes to work in their birthday suit.
Oh.
Nudist business, yeah.
So many lawsuits.
I was watching a TV show last night. I had it on in the radio studio while I was working, so it was very late at night / very early in the morning. And it was a whole documentary kind of show just about people who worked for a sex toy company here in Australia. I was like, there really isn't that much. The whole pitch here is that what they to make a TV show about it is just that they sell sex toys. Like, it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
There's no drama between staff members. They're regular people who work in a call center, but the things they're selling are sex toys.
Right.
I was like, what is the point of this show? But also, so many inappropriate comments between all of them. Like, they would get products and try them themselves, not there in the office, but right. They'd be talking about it and stuff, and I was just like, this is a HR nightmare.
You just said it was nothing weird or out of the ordinary happens.
No, I know, but just some of the things they were saying, I was like, if you said that in any other business.
Let alone when the cameras are rolling.
If you said that in any other business, you'd be marched straight to HR, but because they are selling sex toys.
They got to talk about it.
You can't just walk into an accounting firm and yell, tried a new dildo last night. There's no context.
Oh, that's how I lost my last three jobs.
What do you mean you don't want to hear about it? What? What is wrong with you people?
It's on my heart or what? It's the interview. Anyway, it was very strange. Strange show.
Bit of fun there.
Bit of fun.
That does wrap us up. All we've got to say at the end of the episode is thanks for listening, first and foremost. And if you liked it, tell a pal, tell a friend, a chum. Your mum.
Tell your mum.
Pass on the podcast. We often get many, many people getting in contact saying, hey, someone showed me your pod. That's how I found out about it. I think it's probably the number one way people find out about the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, totally. That's how I found out about pods as well, is people recommending them.
Yeah, that's how I found out about this one.
Yeah. We recommend you join us.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a go.
All right. I'm listening.
Now I'm stuck with you.
And if you want to get in contact with us, we've got a website. We're pretty 20th century.
Yeah.
Do go
we've
on.
We've logged on. Yeah.
We've hacked a mainframe.
We're
or two.
On the world wide web.
Do go on pod.com for all your Do Go On needs. You can find links to our Patreon there, links to merchandise, which we don't often talk about, but we've got a bunch of stuff you can buy on Redbubble. You can print our designs on pretty much anything. T-shirts, pants, mugs, iPhone cases, anything.
Cushions.
All that kind of stuff.
Get a cushion.
So that's on dogoonpod.com, as well as links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. It's at dogoonpod if you just want to follow us. And we've got a YouTube channel that Matt's putting up stuff, which is real cool.
Yes, which is youtube.com/dogoonpod. Everything's pretty much dogoonpod. The Gmail's dogoonpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But links to all of that are in the description of the show and on that website.
Hell yeah. So get in contact, drop us a line. We'd love to hang out. And you can suggest a topic at any time also. Oh, that's the way that people suggested this topic. I'd never heard of it. I brought it in. We had a bit of fun. That's how it works.
It's great. We had a lot of fun.
The hot tip is to give it a real good pitch. There's a little section in there where you can say why you think it's a good topic and just a nice, concise, interesting sounding pitch. That's probably the way to make them stand out.
An elevator pitch.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Mm.
But thanks so much for listening to the episode. We'll be back next week with another edition of Do Go On. Can you believe that? But until then, I will say thank you and goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.